Today is lesson 31 in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Trumos. And today we will study Perek Zayin, Mishneh Zayin, and Perek Ches, Mishneh Aleph. We will conclude the seventh chapter with the seventh Mishnah of the seventh chapter, and we will begin the eighth chapter studying the first Mishnah of the eighth chapter. So first of all, the last Mishnah of Perek Zayin continues with the scenario which we've been studying, of a situation where there are two kupos, two containers, one with chulin, one with truma, and we don't know which is which. And now the person takes one of them, it's wheat, for example, and plants it. Zora es achas mehen. Now the halacha is that if a person plants truma b'shogeg, a zor, plants truma b'shogeg, he has to plow up the field in order to uproot the roots of the truma, and then he can plant chulin there. If he did not plow the field and uproot the roots of the truma he planted, then what grows is truma. In this case, however, since what he planted might have been truma, might not have been truma, he is potter and does not have to uproot what he planted. The other kupa, which at this point has not been planted, noheg bo ketruma, one has to conduct oneself with it as if it was truma, because one is allowing oneself to conduct himself with the first kupa as if it was chulin. So therefore with the second kupa, he must conduct himself with it as if it was truma, but not lekula. So that v'chayev es b'chala, divir Rav Meir, as Rav Meir said in the previous two Mishnayos. For Rav Yossi poter, Rav Yossi says no. What you have a situation here is meduma. This second kupa might be chulin, might be truma, so we adjudge it to be meduma, and meduma is potur from chala. Zora acheres hashniya. Suppose after Reuven planted kupa number one, Shimon went and planted kupa number two, he's also potur. Because who says that what he planted was a truma? Maybe he planted chulin and the first guy planted truma. So he's exempt from having to be mahapech, that is to plow up the that which he planted. Suppose Zora Echot Eshtehen. One person came, took both kupos and planted them both. He planted them both. So now there's definitely truma in the ground somewhere. So it depends. Bidovor Shezaro Kole, if what he planted was something where the seed decays, deteriorates, like wheat or barley, put it in the ground and it decays, transforms, breaks down, and a new growth sprouts up. But the original kernel of wheat or kernel of barley is nowhere to be found. Mutar, then whatever grows is mutar for Zorim, because it has a halacha of gidule meduma, of the growth of meduma, because what was planted here was meduma, was a mixture of chulin and truma. And as we will learn later on, in Perek Tes, Mishneh Dalet, gidule meduma have a halacha of chulin. However, uvedovor she'ein zaro kola, suppose what he planted is something where what is planted remains, more growth occurs, but the thing which was planted remains intact, like when you plant garlic or an onion. They remain intact. Then, also, then what grows is also to Zorim, because, as we will learn later in Perek Tes, the with a dovor she'ein zaro kola, even gidule gidulin of truma are also. Now, let us go ahead and study Perek Shmini, Mishneh Aleph. We've been learning about the situation where a person eats truma b'shogeg. B'shogeg means he does not know it's truma. He does not know it's also. Now we're going to have a whole new group of scenarios of a shogeg, of a person who eats truma innocently. Ha'isha shaha innocently, meaning not knowing that he, she is not permitted to do so. And the scenarios are simple ones. Ha'isha shahoiso cheles bat truma. A woman is married to a kohen. A bas Yisroel is married to a kohen. She assumes her husband is alive. She's a wife of a kohen. She's permitted to eat truma. Bo v'yomrula. Then someone comes and tells her, Meis Bailech, your husband died across the sea, far away. O Gershech, or he divorced you. Yerushalmi wonders, how could a woman be divorced and not know it? The woman must know. She must be involved in the divorce procedure. What do you mean she didn't know about it? Yerushalmi spells out a scenario where it's possible, namely, that she sent a shliach to receive her get, and she told the shliach that I don't receive the get until you reach Chicago. And she assumed it would take him a week to reach Chicago. Lo and behold, he caught a jet plane. He got to Chicago in a few hours. She assumes she's not Negoresh. She assumes she's still married to the Kohen. But really she's not. The guy got there before she could have, before she assumed he would. In any case, she ate the truma not knowing that her husband was dead, or that she was divorced. The same thing in Eved Kanani was eating truma because he's the possession of a Kohen. And then they tell him, your master died, he sold you to a non-Kohen, he gave you away to another owner who's not a Kohen, or he freed you. In either of these cases, he's no longer permitted to eat truma. Or similarly, a Kohen who is eating truma, and then lo and behold, finds out that he's not allowed to, because he's the son of a divorcee, he's a cholo. And a cholo is not allowed to eat truma. So what's the halacha in this case? Rabbi Eliezer Mechayev Keren V'Chomer. Rabbi Eliezer considers such a person, the woman, the Eved, the Kohen who finds out he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalusa, considers them to all be Shogegim, and therefore they have to pay Keren V'chomesh. Rabbi Yehoshua says no. Rabbi Yehoshua Poter. Rabbi Yehoshua says that they're not Shogegim. They're less than Shogegim. They're Anusim. A person who eats some truma, not knowing it's truma, not knowing that it's usur, has some degree of culpability. He should have known, he should have learned, he should have asked, he should have thought. He's not amazed, he didn't do it intentionally, he did it unintentionally, but he's a shogeg and he's chayev keren v'chomesh. But if a person was totally unaware, the woman has been eating truma for the past 20 years that she's been married. Her husband went on a trip. Why should she assume that all of a sudden he divorced her, he died, etc., all the other scenarios. So therefore, the person is totally innocent and is potter. Now, the Gemara in Maseches Psochim, Daf Ayin Beis, has a complex discussion to explain Rabbi Yehoshua's opinion. In the interests of simplicity and brevity, I'm simply going to leave it at this, that Rabbi Yehoshua says the Isha, the Eved, the Kohen in these cases is potter because they are Anusim, not Shogegim. Similar scenario, but this time not with Truma, but with the Korbonos. Hoya omeidu makriv al gabi hamizbeach. If a Kohen is standing and offering the sacrifices upon the altar, thinking he's a legitimate, bona fide Kohen. V'noda shehu ben grusho ben chalutza. Then he finds out officially in Beis Din that he is not allowed to be doing this. His mother was a grusho. His mother was a chalutza. And therefore, he is a cholol and not permitted to serve upon the mizbeach. So Rabbi Eliezer omer kol ha-korbonos shehikriv al gabi ha-mizbeach besulim. Suppose Monday morning he was offering korbanos, and Monday afternoon he found out that he was not a legitimate kohen, he was the son of a grusha chlutza. So then all the korbanos that he brought Monday morning are all possible. Whereas Rabbi Yehoshua says no, Rabbi Yehoshua Machshir says that it's kosher. What's Rabbi Yehoshua's reason? So the Gemara Meseches Kedushin Daf Samach Vav on the days explains that the pasuk says, Parshas Zos HaBrocha, Moshe Rabbeinu says, with reference to the Kohen, Borech Hashem Chelo, may God bless his might, or his army, or his accomplishments, his achievements, Upoal Yadov Tirtze, and may God find pleasant and desirable his activities. So Chazal Darshan, Borech Hashem Chelo, Afilu Chulin Shebo, even if he's a Cholol, Povel Yodov Tirtze, God will accept that which he offered. If he offered it thinking he was a Kohen, absolutely, innocently, naively, tamimistic, thinking he's a Kohen, and it turned out that he wasn't, whatever he brought when he thought he was a Kohen is kosher. Rabbi Yeshua Machshir. However, no dashahu balmum, if it turns out that he thought he was perfectly healthy, he didn't realize that he had a mum, a physical blemish, which rendered him unfit to be to perform the avoda. And then he found out that at the time that he brought the korbanos, he was a balmum. Then even Rabbi Yeshua would agree, avodoso psula, that which he did as a balmum unwittingly is nevertheless possible. And here the reason is because the pasuk says in Parshas Pinchas, Hinnani no sein lo es berisi shalom, and we darshan kishahu sholem. The avoda of a kohen is only kosher if the kohen is whole, meaning he doesn't have one of these physical defects which are spelled out in the Mishnayos and Maseches Bechoros. Velo kishahu chaser. The halacha, by the way, is like Rabbi Yehoshua in both the cases of the truma and the cases of the korbanos. And so we have finished lesson number 31.